to Empowering Women Through Storytelling. I am your host, Sashay Carroll, and thank you for joining me today. I am honored to be interviewing the great
Karen Sanchez, the host of the Sexy Housewife podcast.
Yes, Karen, please tell us all about your podcast.
My podcast is like a self-care cooking podcast, but it's a comedy podcast. So while I'm telling you how to make this recipe, or how I'm telling you a story, or whatever the fuck, I'm making you laugh.
It is very funny. I suggest that all of you go out and listen to it. Where can they find your podcast?
My podcast is available pretty much anywhere. Apple, Spotify.
She global, y'all. She global.
It's on Stitcher. You could probably ask your Alexa to play it, and Alexa would play it.
Alexa, podcast.
And Alexa would fucking
she would do it.
She would turn me on.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, so Karen's going to be sharing a very important story today. Thank you for coming to share this. I know this is probably not very easy for you to talk about, so I do appreciate your willingness to
come. Can I cuss?
Yes.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay. Well, trigger warning. This is about an eating disorder, so if you feel like you're struggling too much right now and can't continue to listen to this, we completely understand. But for those of you that are willing to listen, I do feel like it will really help a lot of people with body image, and also if you're struggling with an eating disorder.
Certainly. So, yeah, I had an eating disorder through most of my teenage years, probably from when I was, like, 13 up until I was definitely, like, 18, right before I turned 18 is when I started to turn the leaf and stuff. But, yeah, it started off by dieting. I was like in middle school and I was like trying all these crazy fad diets that I would see on the internet and on TV, and I would like try to steal my mom's diet pills. Meanwhile, I weighed like 100 pounds soaking wet. And I did it because I wanted people to think I was pretty and had a nice body, and I wanted boys to like me, and you know, all of that hoopla. And then it spiraled into, from dieting into not really eating, into purging everything I ate, into my body couldn't sustain having any food in my stomach at all whatsoever.
So it just progressively got worse over time?
Oh yes, definitely, for sure. When I first got into high school, I was okay. I definitely still was dieting and depriving myself of the food that like I wanted to eat. Like, you know, it's definitely like one of those salad girls or whatever. And I took a lot of pride in, like, being thin. And I was very well known in high school. I was a popular girl. Everyone knew me as, unfortunately, they knew me as the Mexican Regina George. Not fucking proud of that. You can ask anyone that went to my high school. Very unfortunate. But, yeah, I was really mean because I was so hangry all the time. Someone would just shoved a donut down my throat. Maybe I would have been nice.
Do you feel like the pressure that you had of being popular made the image worse, made the eating disorder worse?
Oh yeah. So my freshman year, like I said, it was still there. I was definitely starving myself, but not extremely. I was definitely dieting more than not. And then summer before sophomore year rolled around, and I started becoming friends with a lot of upperclassmen people, just like juniors and seniors, while I was, you know, just got out of my freshman year. So I started hanging out with a lot of people who were very well known in those grades, and boys in those grades started paying attention to me. And I actually made a particular quote-unquote best friend who also was struggling with an eating disorder. However, she had absolutely no idea that she had one. I mean, neither did I at the time, but, like, I knew that what I was doing was wrong, yes, I knew that I had a problem, for sure, And so, but this friend had absolutely no clue. Like, and if she did, she would not make it known at all. And so that kind of pushed me further into denial. And she would always make comments like, oh, like, everyone else isn't as skinny as us. No one can fit in the same clothes as we can. Just really, really nonsense bullshit like that.
Unhealthy language. That
extremely unhealthy language that definitely shoved me into a worse of a spiral than I was even in already. And then my parents caught wind of it, and I started going to therapy, and my relationship with my parents started to dwindle more and more as I went further into denial, and I became more rebellious, and I started having sex and doing drugs and drinking and sneaking out, and it just kind of like it fed into all of that as well. And I definitely wasn't making very good decisions either because I was so hungry all the time. And yeah, it was really hard. And then right about, I think it was right about like middle of my junior year of high school when it was, my friends at that point were like, you look like a Holocaust victim. And they would say like really like fucked up shit like that. And I didn't care. Like I literally like I thought that I looked good. Like,
so is it called like body dysmorphia?
Yes, or? Yes. And I unfortunately I still have that. I definitely still have that.
So does that and an eating disorder go hand in hand, or do those things not always exist in the same space?
From what I have experienced and from what I have had other friends that also have had it, what from all the forums I've read online, they definitely go hand in hand. They're like peanut butter and jelly. Because pretty much in order to have an eating disorder, your self-image has to be distorted in some way, especially if you are already rail thin and you think I need to lose weight. So yeah, it was, and I remember seeing like my mom would turn on documentaries for me and news segments about eating disorders and such, and she would try to get through to me, and that's when I started becoming bulimic, was because my mom would force me to eat, and so I would purge it. And then after that, I had a doctor's appointment. I pretty much just went in for like a regular physical, and my doctors were like, you're gonna die if you keep doing this because your body is gonna start eating your own organs.
That's terrifying.
And they were like, you have six months to a year to live, tops, if you keep doing
this.
Six months to a year to live, yeah. And because I was just like extremely thin, and I had my hair was falling out in like clumps. Like,
so you needed to do something.
And so they wanted to put me in inpatient, but my mother would not allow that. She didn't want to be away from me, and I'm the youngest, so she definitely did not want her baby to be taken away to another state to be taken care of. She wanted to do it herself. So yeah, essentially she started injecting me with these vitamins that are called Beodecta. They give them to like pregnant women when they are having a lot of morning sickness and can't keep anything down and need to provide nutrients for their baby. Or when that's mainly when they give them to people, but my mom started giving me those. So because I couldn't keep anything down, and then I became strong enough to when I could keep things down. My doctor and my therapist were actually married, so that had a big part of it. They were both Hispanic, so we had family therapy sessions with like my parents, and I have alone sessions, and I went to therapy probably like once or twice a week for like 2 years.
So that definitely helped in the healing process.
Yes, I wouldn't have been able to do it without it.
Yeah, I for feel sure. Like so many young girls and women struggle with body image. I know that I do myself. I feel like every year I go through it where I just feel like I'm constantly gaining weight. I'm constantly putting on weight, even if it's not that much. Mm-hmm. And so it develops, like, I develop this mindset, like, I need to be exercising. I need to lose weight because I don't look the way that I want to look, you mm-hmm. know? But I realize, like, it's not really about how do I feel about myself? Mm-hmm. How do I feel about myself? And that's something that's internal that I got to do, that internal work. Telling myself you are beautiful, you are worthy, and things like that to just keep myself moving, you know?
Absolutely, because, like, having an eating disorder, one thing about that is, like, you never really truly recover. Like, it's a constant battle. Like, every single time I look in the mirror, like, my immediate thought is I don't like what I see, because I also, like, having an eating disorder really fucked up my metabolism. So, like, even if I do, like, eat healthy and work out, it's really hard for me to lose weight mm-hmm. because I fucked up my metabolism from confusing it for so long.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty hard for me to lose weight. And on top of that, one thing that I found solace in, which is the basis of my podcast, is food. Is learning how to cook. So growing up, I grew up watching my mom and my aunts cooking. You know, preparing for parties or holidays or gatherings, and my mom, you know, making dinner and everything. So food was always a really big part of my life. And then when I started having eating disorder, sometimes I shied away from it because I didn't want to eat mm-hmm. it. And then other times I would use it as a weapon and in order to confuse people or trick people into thinking that I was eating.
So kind of manipulating the situation.
Yes, for sure. And so, but then when I realized that I did have a will to live, because when they told me that I had, you know, not very long to be alive anymore, I didn't care. I really didn't care. I didn't see. I was depressed. I had severe anxiety. I was doing poorly in school. I didn't want to go to college. I didn't want to be alive another day. So I did not give a shit. That's why my mom started injecting me with those vitamins, was mm-hmm. because I didn't give a fuck, you know?
She knew that you weren't going to care enough to take care of yourself and to try to revert the situation.
Right. And so then when I found, like, my purpose, essentially, I realized that I wanted to not feel this way anymore, and I cut that friend out of my life, and I realized that, you know, I do need to get better, and I need to get, because everyone's being pretty annoying about it, honestly, so I wanted to get people off my back. So I pretty much gained enough weight that summer, but I was still, like, going to the gym religiously. Because also another thing about that friend that I did not mention was that prior to meeting her, yes, I was already starving myself, but I wasn't working out. And so when I became friends with her, I got a gym membership, and we began working out like crazy. And we began going to the sauna every day. And so really just completely sucked my body dry of any fat mm-hmm. whatsoever. So that's when it started to really get bad. And then after that, I realized, you know, I don't want to look like this anymore. I want to get everyone off my back. I want to be able to do the things that I want to do, like go out and party with my friends. So I'm going to do whatever. And so I got myself to gain enough weight by smoking weed, essentially, and making great food and learning to love the food that I make and realize that food was not my enemy. It was actually my solace. It was what I loved to dig myself into, because there is nothing better than creating something out of nothing, as I always like to say.
Okay. So what would you say for women out there that are struggling with an eating disorder or with their body image? How can they take their power back?
You definitely need to tell that voice inside your head that is telling you don't eat that. You need to earn that. Those are, look at your fat rolls, look at your stretch marks. That voice that is telling you that, you need to tell that voice to suck a dick. Sorry.
No, you're fine. That's accurate.
You need to tell that voice to pack its fucking bags. And GTFO, bye Felicia, you're no longer wanted here. Those thoughts are no longer welcome. You need to put yourself in that mindset. You need to learn to separate those thoughts from you. You need to put them to the side, tell them off, and kick them away.
That's powerful. That is very powerful.
That is how I recovered.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And you look great, by the way.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful.
I've gained a buckload of weight during the quarantine. I mean, since I met Connor, I was working out and eating healthy, and I really looked like I was super fit. And then I met him, and then I gained that relationship weight.
You get comfortable. That's what it is. You get real comfortable.
And then all those time going out to eat, and then he's a picky eater. So I have to make him whatever he wants, mm-hmm. and that's not ever going to be anything healthy.
Oof, man. I commend you so much for overcoming that and being where you are today.
Thank you.
And finding that passion and drive for food, and that's amazing.
It was really like it was taking on my enemy. I really learned how to love my enemy.
Okay. Wow. Well, maybe you can help me and some of the viewers with that when you go listen to our podcast, or listeners, when you listen to our podcast, because I could definitely use some help with that as well.
We can cook today.
Oh, we can?
Yeah, sure.
So what I usually do is people cook and I watch them do it. Ask Ami. She loves to cook too. And so I'll be in the kitchen though. I'll be in the kitchen.
That's usually what I like to do anyway, just because I'm like, no, do it like this. No, it's like this.
That's what my mom does.
That's exactly how I am.
So that's how my mom let me do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, so I definitely get that.
That's why Connor's like, I don't like doing anything because you don't like the way I do it, so why do it anyway?
He's making a good point. Connor's making a very good point.
That's my boyfriend. My very lanky boyfriend.
A cute smile.
My very adorable tiny man.
Hi, Connor. Please tune in to the Sexy Housewife podcast. Karen, you're amazing. And thank you so much for sharing your story with all of us.
Of course. You can follow me on Instagram, Sexy Housewife Pod. Listen on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor. I don't think, no, it's not on Anchor. That's you.
I'm on Anchor.
You're on Anchor. I'm not on Anchor, I don't think. I could be, but I have no idea. My website is www.sexyhousewifepodcast.buzzsprout.com. If you would like to view all my episodes on there,
please.
And that is where you can see. That is where you can see all the platforms that I'm on. So.
Yes, and follow her on Instagram as well. Thank y'all so much for listening, and until next time.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.